and enjoy the time with Pastor Josh. He had a long day yesterday. His day started at 6 o'clock. He had to be picking up kids, traveled to Harvest Fest, got back late, and yet he wanted to have a special number for you today to prepare our hearts for the message. I appreciate that so very much. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're looking at the gifts that each one of us have. And again, it's not the abilities. It's not our talents. These are gifts that come from God. Some of you have wonderful abilities and wonderful talents, and I appreciate you using them for the Lord. That's wonderful. But those are natural things that happen in life, in the church. But the gifts are something special that God gives to each individual. And if you're born again and part of the body of Christ, even though you're not a member of Faith Baptist Church, you're still a body, part of the body of Christ, and we'll look at that in next week. But you have a gift. Everybody has at least one gift. And that gift is putting together, causes the, honestly, I call it the supernatural, the God thing that happens. And I think that's what's lacking in our churches today is that God thing, that supernatural, the and I'm not talking about the weird. I'm not talking about healings and all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about the power of God that people know there's something different going on down at the church house. That's what the gifts create. And I think we've lost that today because we've lost sight of the gifts. We've lost sight of what the purpose of the gifts are for. And so that's the question that Paul's answering here, because he said, now concerning, or the second thing I'm dealing with after the Lord's Supper, was the gifts. It was being abused. They were being abused and misused. Matter of fact, if you look at this passage carefully in verses 2 and 3, he said, I understand when you were Gentiles, I understand when you were unsaved that you were a prisoner of Satan. You were bound to sin and Satan, and I understand it. But now that you're born again, you're falling into this trap, because there's folks in the Corinthian church that were calling Jesus accursed by the Holy Spirit. They were saying they had the gift of preaching or the gift of teaching. They had the gift, and it was by the Holy Spirit, and they said Jesus was accursed. And Paul said that's absolutely ludicrous, that Jesus is accursed. They, because of Gnosticism and the different beliefs that they had from their pagan backgrounds, they said Jesus was a man, and man is evil. And so Christ and Jesus were separate. Christ is okay, but Jesus wasn't. And he said, if you call Jesus accursed, it goes directly against the word of God. And if it goes against the word of God, it can't be from the Holy Spirit. You're being led astray by the falsities that are taking place by these false teachers. The wickedness that calling Jesus accursed, because no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So Paul said you've abused and misused the gifts. People are abusing and misusing the gifts. So then he begins to go in, and I'm sure as he established the church of Corinth, he was the pastor there for 18 months, a year and a half, I'm sure he taught the gifts. But maybe he didn't go into detail, but now he's going to answer their questions because of the misuse of the gifts. And what people were saying, he's going to go into detail and begin to describe what the gifts are and what they do for you. And that's why this passage is so delightful. And we had a chance to look at verse 4. And I'm going to go over that just a little bit, then we'll get into, but you have to understand what these mean to understand what Paul was saying. He said, now, there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. There's diversity of gifts. That's number one. He said there's a variety of gifts. Everybody has a gift. You, everybody in this room, if you're born again and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, let me challenge you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not, you don't have eternity in mind in the sense of going to heaven, because there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's being born again. But if you're born again and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a gift. I don't care how insignificant you feel you are, or how unabilitated, or I don't even know the word, you don't have any abilities, any talents. I don't care how lowly you think of yourself, you have a gift. And matter of fact, there's some of you that probably have more than one gift. You're not necessarily just limited to one gift. And Paul says, you have a gift. And each one of you in this room, no matter how important or insignificant you think you are, you have a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. But there's a variety of gifts. That's what he says. That's what that's saying. Paul says there's a diversity of gifts. There's a lot of gifts. Matter of fact, on my desk right now, I've been studying this just, I've been studying it around the clock. Study at night at home and during the day, and because it just intrigues me, all the information. But I got five authors that are sitting on my desk right now, and all five of them gave a different number of gifts. Some of them said there's 25 gifts. Some of them said 22 gifts. Warren Wiersbe, who I just looked at last, he said there's 19 gifts. I came up with 20 gifts. Some said there's 17 gifts. There's a diversity of gifts. But you know, the Bible speaks, Paul wants them to know how important the gifts are. But in the Holy Spirit giving Paul these writings, he kept the gifts in general. Because he doesn't give an exact listing of the gifts. Now again, there's different words in the Greek, like ruling, that's a gift. But government, I believe, is the same gift. Administration, same gift. Leadership, the same gift. But that's why you can have a different number of gifts, because one could say you have the gift of ruling, and one could say the gift of administration, and one could say the gift of leadership. But I think if you combine them, as I did, into one, then that narrows it down from four gifts to one gift. That's why there can be a different number of gifts. But you don't really know. The Bible isn't exactly clear on how many gifts there are. See, if I were the Holy Spirit, or Paul writing from the Holy Spirit, I'd want the Holy Spirit to give me the exact gifts and write them down and say, these are the gifts. But he says there's a variety of gifts. That's all he says. There's a diversity of gifts. Now, he lists some of them. We find a list in Ephesians chapter 4. We find a list in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We find a list of the here in verses 8 through 10, as well as verse 28. So he lists some of the gifts, but it's not a clear-cut list. But there's a reason for that. And if you begin to, I'm given a definition for each one of the gifts. As I've got them written on my desk, I take the gift and I start to define it. And as I look at all these authors, because the Bible doesn't define it, Paul didn't define all these gifts in his writing here. He just listed the gifts. So you take the Greek, and most of them agree in the Greek word and where it comes from. And so on the basic premise, all the gifts are defined a little bit the same, but many are different. There's no definite definition. I can't give you a definition for the gift that you say, yep, that's the right definition, because there are many different definitions. Some of you can take a test to help determine what your gifts are. And they're writing up of gifts. They list the gifts, and they give a whole paragraph, a whole writing on what each gift is, and it's way different than what I think it is. You say, why didn't the Holy Spirit, through Paul, just give us the gifts, list them there, and then define each one? Wouldn't have that made sense? And so that's how I think, because I think practically. But the Holy Spirit only gave to Paul the general idea of gifts. Now, I don't want you to limit the importance of gifts, but it's just in general. So some people think there's 25, some people think there's 17. Some people define the gift of ruling this way, and other people define it. And so there's no definite description of the gifts. But I think there's a purpose for that. And if you understand the purpose, I hope it makes sense to you like it made sense to me, because God kept it in general, because as important as the gifts are, he didn't want you just to figure out what your gift is and then that's the only gift you use. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Maybe yeah, it's the gift of teaching. We'll just pick that one. You say, well, I have the gift of teaching. And you understand it because it's defined in Scripture. It's right there in Scripture, and it's defined in Scripture. And you say, yep, that's my gift. I know I have the gift of teaching. But then when something else comes up, you'd say, well, I can't do that because you know why? That's not my gift. Or, I can't do that. That's not my gift. Let me illustrate it just in my life personally. I wish I had the gift of evangelism. The gift of evangelism is an amazing gift to me. It's the ability to share the good news. It's a passion. It's the ability to every conversation you have. You know, when I think of the gift of evangelism, now some of you folks here, you won't know this man, but many of you will because he's a missionary you've supported. What comes to mind in the gift of evangelism? Guess who? I bet you the old timers can figure this out. Tom Johnson. That guy can go through the drive-through McDonald's and witness to three people. How? I don't know. Everywhere he goes, he witnesses to people. He can be here for a day and witness to 25 people. And the amazing part to me is as I listen to him do it, he does it in such a way they enjoy talking to him. Boy, when I try to push the gospel or move the gospel into somebody, they're like, yeah, I'm getting out of this guy's nuts. But not with him. He is gifted in that area. He has a special gift. Now, his gift isn't preaching. Honestly, it's not. Do you remember last time he was here for you guys that were here? He did pretty good in the morning service. He held it down and we got out to back for our meal at 12:45. But then he had the afternoon service. And we started at 1:30 because we got to the meal so late. And we finally got done about 10 minutes after 5. And you know what? It was like, wow. So the gift of evangelism he has isn't to, I don't think it's to speak to big numbers of people. But you know what? The gift of evangelism he has is to teach or present the gospel in a way I've never seen anybody else do it. I wish I had that gift. But I could say, well, I have the gift of teaching. So I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I don't have to give out the gospel. I don't have to give out a tract. I don't have to talk to people of Christ. And I've watched people through the years. Well, that's not my gift. Well, it doesn't matter if it's your gift or not in the fact that Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that winneth souls is wise. We all need to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to present maybe a gospel tract. You say, but I'm not good at that. That's okay. It's the Holy Spirit that saves them, not you. It's the Holy Spirit that takes that invite, takes whatever you have. You say, I'm just not good at it, but I still need to do it. That's why if you determined your gift and your one gift was a teaching, then you would use that as an excuse not to be a soul winner, not to give out the gospel, not to present a gospel tract. Again, another one of my gifts that I do not have is the gift of showing mercy. That's not my gift. I'm just not gifted in that realm that I think like that. You know, somebody comes to the door and they need money. I have a series of questions I ask them. And first of all, I ask them if they're saved. And because they want money, they all say they are. And then I ask them if they're part of a church and they always have a reason why they're not. And then me, here's the way I think. Man, I was just uptown, and there's about 30 help wanted signs up there. I could tell you where to go to find a job. Then you don't have to ask us for money. You can go out and earn your own money. That's the way I think. If you don't work, you don't eat. See, that's the way I think. But if you define the gift of showing mercy, it's having a compassion or pity for those who are in need. So you know what? I could say, well, church, that's not my gift. I'm not going to go to a nursing home. I'm not going to visit older people. I'm not going to have a compassion for those who have a need because that's not my gift. But that's why I think Paul isn't, he speaks about the gifts in general so you don't hide behind that one gift. Because it's my goal to fulfill all the gifts. Now, I don't have all those gifts. But it's my goal. You know, a pastor said this to me a long time ago because I was trying to figure out my gifts as a young preacher. And he said, I got a solution for you, Brian. He said, here's what you do. If you see a need, do it. If you see a need, something that needs done, just do it. That way you don't have to worry about if that's your gift or not. And if it is your gift, you're going to do it spectacularly. And if it's not your gift, you're going to do it for the blessing of God. And it's going to get done. So many things do not get done in the Lord's work because we say, well, that's not my gift. Well, if you see a need, do it. That's why I think Paul spoke in general terms of the gifting. And all he said here, and he said, now, Church of Corinth, there's a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. But there's a diversity, there's a variety of gifts. And so he doesn't name them right here, and he doesn't define them and tell you you need to absolutely find your gift. But he wants them to know that each one of you are gifted in a certain way for to accomplish God's purpose for the body of Christ, as well as for Faith Baptist Church. And you have a gift that needs to be applied. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But there's a diversity of gifts, just in general, he said. So know this, there's a diversity of gifts. Some say 25, some say I say 20, some say 19, some say 17, some say 22. It doesn't matter, just in general, but there's gifts. Each one of you have a gift, at least one gift, and there's a diversity of gifts. There's a variety of gifts. But number two, he said, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There's a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. But there's differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That's an amazing, amazing. And you read that, you don't completely understand that, folks. What's it mean when he says there's differences of administration? Well, if you look up the word administrations, it relates to ministries in the local church. Ministries. See, even Christians can have the same basic gift, but they may lead to manifest that gift in many different ways. So he said you may have the same gift because it just goes to the fact if there's 20 gifts, then somebody's going to have the same gift in this room. And there may be many of you that have the same gift as somebody else. So he said there's a diversity of gifts, but just so the body functions properly, as Brother Van Hall gave a great illustration, and we'll get that in a couple weeks. When one part of the body hurts, all the part hurts. When one part of the body can't function, it doesn't function completely to its full ability. And when the gifts aren't being applied, then the body of Faith Baptist Church, the body of Christ, the church, doesn't function to its full potential. But so some of you are going to have the same gift. There may be six of you that have the gift of teaching. There may be four of you or five of you that have the gift of showing mercy. But he says there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. But there's differences of administration, but the same Lord. The word administrations is ministries. It's the way those gifts are applied. There's many differences. Let me again go back to the illustration of the gift of teaching. You could have the gift of teaching. But you know what? You could have a great ability and a love to teach little kids. I mean, I'm talking they're post-parasites now. They're normal kids, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. But to me, I am terrible at that age. I'm horrible at that age. You know, you take an Edith. She lives for that age of kid. She's gifted in that realm. But you know, there may be somebody who has the gift of teaching that could teach the primary and say, I don't like working with the little ones. I'd rather work with the middle-aged ones or the younger ones, but not old ones, but or the primaries or the juniors. Some may say, if you're insane, I want to teach the junior high and high school kids. That's where my gift is, and that's Pastor Josh's desire and passion. I'm not saying that's his gift, but that's his passion and desire. Maybe there's somebody who has the gift of teaching. You can teach adults, and you'd be very good at it. I think there's some folks in this room, you haven't stepped out by faith, but I'd love to divide up and start a few different Sunday school classes, but I got to have teachers that are saying, I want to teach. But there's some of you who may have the gift of teaching, but it may be to adults because you can relate to adults. You say, I could never relate to kids. If I went in to teach kids, it would go over like a lead balloon. But I could teach adults. There may be even somebody in the room that you understand biblical languages and you can go in depth and you even have the ability to maybe go teach at a seminary way above my head. and you understand the scriptures and what God, and you would just have an ability to teach on that level. See, there's differences of administrations. There's way different. You know, some people, when they preach, may emphasize exhortation. Some may emphasize doctrine. Others may focus on comfort, and others may on mercy. There's such an emphasis on the variety of differences of ministry. So Paul says there's a variety of gifts, but within those gifts, there's differences of administrations. There's differences of way you apply those gifting that God has given to you. Ministries in the New Testament, if you look it up, it comes from the Greek word that means to serve, be a servant, or to be, it comes in the same word that we get our word deacon from. That's why the deacons in Faith Baptist Church aren't here to make all the decisions for the church. The church makes the decisions for the church. The deacons aren't here to run the church. The deacons are here to serve the church. That, Acts chapter 6, you go down there and you'll find out that's the purpose of deacons, to serve. Even Jesus Christ said this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, to be served, but to minister, serve, and give his life a ransom for many. That's the idea behind it. There are a variety of gifts. There's a diversity of gifts, but there's differences of administrations, the way those gifts are applied. Spiritual gifts that you have is not given to you as a badge of privilege or prestige, but as simply a tool for ministry, for service. The Lord gives them to his servants so they can serve. And they can do an unlimited variety of services. Again, but it's critical to understand this, that you are not given a gift for self-edification. God's gift is given to you to be used for others for his glory. Every gift we could say is a help gift, because every gift is a service gift for others. That's why Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 4, as every man has received their gift, even so ministers serve the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He said, serve the same one to another. That's the purpose of your gift. It's not to make you feel good. It's not to make you look spiritual. It's to help complete the needs of others as well as that the world may see. That's why I interpret that verse maybe a little, but in Matthew 5:16, he says, that they may see your good works. You know how I interpret that? That they may see your gift. And when the world sees their gift, they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There it is, folks. That's the key. That God will be glorified when the world, unsaved world, sees the gift. Sees that supernatural, that unnatural. That there's something different about you. That's what the world did. It doesn't, we don't have to live like the world and play the music the world listens to win the world. We have to be like Christ. We have to put the gifts into practice. That's the key. So Paul says, in general, he said, there's a diversity of gifts. But don't worry. There's differences of administration. There's differences of the way they're supplied. But then thirdly, he says, and there's diversity of operations. But notice it says there are differences of diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. If you look at verse 6, verse 5, and verse 4, I think you can notice the importance of the gifts to God. Because within the gifts, it includes God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. They're all there. I think it's the God's the one who gives the gifts. I think it's the Son who assigns the gifts. And I think it's the Holy Spirit that empowers the gifts. It's all there. But Paul says, now you've heard these people that say they have the gift of teaching, they have the gift of preaching, they have these gifts, and they're not even doctrinal. What they're saying is so false, so wicked, it's blasphemy. But you have a gift, and there's a diversity of gifts. And there's differences of administrations, the way those ministries are applied to service. But there's differences of operations. That word operations doesn't come from a doctor or from a hospital. Operations, that's not what we're talking about. But the word operations, if you looked it up in the Greek, it would come from the word energema. You know what word we get from energema? Energy. God gives the energy. God controls the results. That's why one of you could be just the quietest, meekest, mildest person that could be. And when God gives you that gift, you say, well, there's nothing I can do with it. But God gives you the energy to accomplish that gift. So there's a diversity of operations. You know, I took a test when I was young, way younger, but an adult. Just graduated in high school, and I took a test, and it was they wanted to decide if I was an introvert or an extrovert. There were about 30 of us in a room. And I took the test, and I got the highest score on being an introvert. Man, I am introverted as they come. You know what? You could put me in my basement, especially during football season. You could put me in the basement. My wife could send down the food. There's a bathroom. There's a shower. And I could not leave that basement for 6 weeks, and I'd be okay with that. You say, but you're not around anybody. That's okay. That's just fine with me. I could be wonderful down there by myself because that's just me. I'm an introvert. You know, my first, I became a part of the FFA for two reasons when I was in high school. Number one, it was way easier a class load taking FFA than it was a regular class load. And number two, I wanted to be an apple farmer. That was my goal. I wanted to work for Rosings and Stellar and then have my own orchard. That was my goal. You say, why? I have no idea. But that's what I wanted to do. Maybe because Mom picked apples, and I went up and picked up drops, and I was around orchards all the time. We cut down all the apple trees for Snellers, for wood to burn, and so I was always around apples and different things. So I was in the FFA, and Future Farmers of America, and I was one of the smarter ones. It didn't take a lot, but I was one of the smarter ones in that class. Most of them were just farmers. They weren't very good at English and different things. Well, I wasn't good at it either, but I did a speech, and my speech was the number one speech. And so the community got together and said, you're going to go represent us at the regionals. You're going to do your speech. And I said, no, I ain't. I said, pardon the English, but that's the way I think. I ain't going there. And I didn't. I skipped school that day. And they were ready to leave, and they couldn't find me anywhere. You know why? Because I skipped school. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell my dad. I just disappeared. You know why? I wasn't going to do a speech in front of a whole bunch of people. I struggled with speech. That's the only subject I really struggled with was speech class, getting up in front of people. And now listen, God calls me to preach. Ooh. But you know what God calls, he delivers. I don't think many of you would know that I'm a very, very introverted person. But that's the energy of Christ. That's the power of God. That's why you can be the lowest of low in your mind. But God gives you a gift, but he said there are diversities of operations. Some of you are going to be ecstatic and outgoing and just wild and crazy, and others are going to be quiet. There's all differences, but God is the one who gives the energy. But really what God is saying there, I'm the one who gives the results. The results don't come from you, they come from me. You don't lead somebody to Christ. I do. The Holy Spirit does. Now, you may give them the gospel, and you may give them a better understanding, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings them to Christ. It's not you. It's not me that's up here preaching. I hope it's the Holy Spirit that's using the Word of God, and he energizes. And that's why he says there's differences of gifts, diversities of gifts, variety of gifts. And there's differences of administration, the way those gifts are applied. And there's a diversity of operations. The energy that comes with it is going to vary, but the results are all in God's hands. That's why some of you could maybe go out and lead 20 people to Christ. And some of you, you've tried, but you've never led anybody to Christ. That's okay, folks, because that's the Spirit's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's their job to bring him to Christ. It's your job to do what God tells you to do, and then it's his job to give the results. The results will be exactly what he wants. So don't sit back and say that I can't do that, I can't do this. It's God that gives you the energy. It's God that gives the results. Well, I did this and there's not a lot of results. You have no idea one day until one day you get to heaven what the results really are. You know what? You may impact somebody at work that you have no idea you impacted because you applied your gift, because you've lived faithfully and righteously and holy. Say, well, Pastor, I go to work and try to do that. And none of them ever come to church. See, the Bible says Paul planted and Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase. You just may be planting and you just may be cultivating and you just may be watering, that one day they go through a tragic time or something in their life that they go back and it brings them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I truly believe the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at that time, you know what? He was the one that headed up the stoning of Stephen. And the Bible says he stood and held the coats and he watched. And you know what? He saw something different in Stephen. Now, did Stephen lead him to Christ? No. But I truly believe on the road to Damascus, when Saul got saved and became the Apostle Paul, it was because of the testimony of Stephen that he was ready to say, Lord, what do you have me to do? I think that day Stephen, you know, you say, why would God take Stephen home? I mean, he was a deacon. He was doing such a great work for God. We'll never know till we get to heaven the impact that Stephen had. And just when he looked up to heaven, and he saw his face as the face of an angel. And he said, Lord, forgive them. Lay not this into their charge. And he looked up and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Folks, you'll never know the impact. And he probably impacted more people in that moment than any other moment. That's what Paul's trying to say here. There's a diversity of gifts. There's differences of administration, many ways those gifts can be applied. And there's a diversity of operations. But the results are in God's hands. Because we'll never know one day until we get to heaven how many people we've impacted for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's been some kids that have come through my ministry. A lot of bus kids. I mean, I think, whoa. I blew it. I failed. But I can't wait to get to heaven one day. Because I think that bus ministry had a greater impact than I think it had. I think those preaching opportunities had more impact than I think they had. And I think one day when you get to heaven, I think you're going to find out that what you've done for Jesus Christ has had a greater impact than you even think it does, because the results aren't in your hands, they're in God's hands. That's why he says there's a diversity of operations. Wow, what a powerful truth. I wish I could develop that even more, but I want to finish with verse 7 because I want to get into the gifts next week. And I wanted to define them for you a little bit in as quickly as I can, so at least you have an idea what we're talking about when we talk about the gifts. But he says in verse 7, and I'll close with this, I promise, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit restates that God is the source of all spiritual gifts. So your spiritual gift that comes from God, he's the manifestation of the Spirit. These ministries are given by God, I believe assigned by the Lord, and energized through through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that word manifest there declares the idea or carries the idea of making something obvious, clear, or known. There it is, folks. That's why God gives us the gifts. So he can be, his power, his glory, it can be obvious, it can be clear, it can be known. That when people see the supernatural, when people see the working of God, that they'll know that there's something different there. That's just not human. That's just not normal. That's something beyond normal. And that's when we're going to impact the world for Christ. And he said, that's what's going to happen. The manifestation of the Spirit will be given when you apply the gifts. And he says to every man, all of you have a gift to profit with all. The gifts that God gives us are to show forth his glory. The word prophet there comes from the Greek word sumphero. It means simply to bring together, to carry the load with others, to contribute, to bring the body of Christ, to bring the body together so it can function. As Mr. Van Hall said, when his foot was operated on, he couldn't function as a body. But when all the gifts come together and the body, all the parts are working together, that body has great abilities and great can accomplish great things. He said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. The gifts are given to every man that the Spirit of God, that the body of Christ, that the church of Jesus Christ, that Faith Baptist Church may profit. So it's not your own profit you're looking for, but it's the profit for the glory of Christ. Our gifts are given for the purpose of building up and helping the church body to reach those who are without a Christ. Now, if we'll apply the gifts, and I just got to give you these four. If you will apply the gifts, if you'll listen to me. Now you say, but Pastor, I don't want you to get so focused, so in specific that you say, well, I can't do that because that's not my gift. No, absolutely not. If you have an opportunity to hand out a gospel tract, you hand it out. If you say, but I'm not good at that, it doesn't matter. The tract will do the speaking for you. The Spirit of God will do the speaking for you. You know, leave it at a restaurant. Leave it at a place. Live godly in Christ Jesus at your work. Well, I'm not really sure what my gift is. Well, you just do what you're supposed to do and God will take care of the rest. But if we will get a little bit of grip on this thing, we begin to apply the gifts. We begin to have an understanding of what the gifts are. I think there's four things that happen to the local church. Number one, Christians themselves receive the spiritual blessing. I think you're going to be blessed. Even though the gift wasn't given to edify you, I think you're going to receive. You know what? You know what? In the Christian life, you know what I'm the happiest? It's when God has, maybe through a counseling or somebody changes their heartbeat, changes their lifestyle. Maybe you give the gospel out to somebody and somebody gets saved. Doesn't that thrill your soul? When people turn their lives around and begin to live for Jesus Christ, and you know you had a little impact as a teacher or just as a friend or a discipler, you had a little impact in that, doesn't it thrill your soul? So when you apply the gifts, the same thing's going to happen. You're gonna receive that spiritual blessing because God never intended the ministry of the church to be carried out by a few professional people and those who are especially talented, while everyone else sits back and watches. You know, this doesn't come from me, folks, but you've heard it before. The saying was 30 years ago, 80% of the work gets done by what? 20% of the people. 80% of the work gets done by 20%. You know, the latest statistic I heard in our society today is 90% of the work gets done by 10% of the people. That was never God's plan, folks. Now, if 20% of you got active and got busy, the church could do wonderful things, but it can't do what it could do if 100% were involved. If just 20% of you are applying your gifts, that's good. That's okay. But you're not going to see the blessing and the power of God. That's why I'm challenging. There's some people who work overtime in this church, and that's wonderful. The challenge isn't for you, but there's some who sit back and just say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have any gift. Well, you're wrong. You do have a gift. I don't have any abilities. You may not have any abilities or talents, but you have a gift. If you'd begin to try to figure out that gift and work that gift, and you see a need, you fill that need, and all of a sudden now, as the church does it as a whole, that's where we begin to see the blessing and power of God. But too many churches have 10% of the people fulfilling their gifts. Now, 90% of the work gets done, but it's not near what God wants to see. Number two, the church will form a dynamic witness to an unsaved world. If you apply their gifts and we can get people to live out their gifts, and begin to have that idea that if there's a need, I'm going to fill it. And I hope it's my gift, and I'm going to apply my gift to the best of God's ability. You're going to see an outreach that takes place. That's why in Acts chapter 2, remember the Pentecost came and the church was established and formed in Acts chapter 2? You get over to Acts chapter 4, and they went about and they began to live right, man. They were in prayer and Bible study. They were going from house to house doing the Lord's table and different things. They even, many of them, sold their possessions and gave it to the disciples to help out those who were hurting. I mean, these people got right with God. You know what the Bible says? And the Lord added unto them daily such as should be saved. Notice that phrase, the Lord added unto them daily such as should be saved. See, it's not you that reaches the community for Christ, it's God that will. All we have to do is be what God wants us to be and apply the gifts, and he'll add unto Faith Baptist Church as he sees fit daily. It's the Lord that blesses as we create that dynamic witness. But when you apply the gifts, number three, God's leaders will rise to the top. We'll find out that there's leaders out there. You know, my preacher boys, as I talk with them, and you've got to meet a number of them, a portion of them came to that 40th celebration, and I appreciate the time and effort that they put into it in this church. You saw a portion of them, but you know what? Most of those people that were here struggle having deacons. One of them have zero deacons because none are qualified or none want to fulfill the position. One has one. Another one has one. Another one has two. But they don't have the leadership. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That happens when we're not fulfilling our gifts. Because as we begin to apply the gifts that God's given us, it's like the leadership rises, the cream rises to the top. There'll always be leaders to lead. But I think one of the evidences that there's not leaders to lead in the local church, men really, is because we've failed to practice our gifts. And then fourthly, and I've got to be done, it just simply creates a joy and unity and love and fellowship in a way that is just amazing. So there's a variety of gifts. And there's differences of administrations, the way those gifts are applied, the ministries. And there's a diversity of operations, the results. But when the gifts are applied, the body functions and reaches its potential for God. And that's when the church, you see the blessing. We get a dynamic witness in the community. Cream rises to the top, leadership rises to the top, and we are filled with joy and peace and love and fellowship. I'm going to tell you, if only 10% of the people are applying their gifts, the body doesn't function that way. Yeah, go home, and I'll close with this. Go home. One of your eyes don't work, and both ears don't. Your mouth can't open, and four fingers don't work. Go home and try to cook. Go home and try. They tell me the most important of your feet area is your big toe. Lose your big toe, too. And when they're not there, try to function. But That's what churches are trying to do today. They're trying to function with missing parts of the body. And what I'm trying to tell you today is, no matter who you are or how important you think you are or how what you even think of yourself, it doesn't matter. You have a gift that God's given you to make the body reach its potential. If you'll find that gift, you'll apply for the glory of Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to get through verse 7, preach a little longer than I normally do. Because next week I'm going to define some of the gifts. Some of them are temporary and some of them are permanent. Some of them could be temporary and some could be permanent. It's just general. But it's important to know that there are gifts and you have a gift. You know what? In a moment, Julie will play one verse, and it's not a come forward invitation. But my prayer this week has been that there'd be one or two or three or four or maybe more that would say, you know what? For the body to function properly, I need to apply my gift. I need to do what's right. I may think I'm insignificant, but you're not. And you're going to find that out. If you'll stay with me through this study, you'll find out that the most insignificant person in this auditorium is just equal to the most important person, because God gives grace.